Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview and promote people who are making a positive difference in this world with their lives. My name's Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and speaker, helping people to live positively with and through the many and varied challenges of life. I'm Canada's most well-known Honda salesperson, working out of Oakville Honda, just outside of Toronto. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 45 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, and I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1", hence the nickname Too Tall, and that's due to the heavy daily doses of the steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. Despite my physical challenges, I'm well known for always answering amazing when asked how I'm doing. I tell people that 80% of the time it's true, and the other 20% of the time it's to remind myself that it's true. You can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, TALL.com. My guest today is G. Brian Benson, and he's had an incredibly interesting life. He's a multiple award-winning self-help author and filmmaker. He's an actor, speaker, consultant, inspirational poet and musician, radio personality, published children's author, and finisher of over 50 triathlons, including 4 Ironman distance races, cross-country bicyclist, and someone that believes in you. Having authored 4 books, including Brian's List, Finding Your Voice, and the e-books, The Art of Balance and Discover Your True Self, Brian is now completing a 5th self-improvement title, Be Yourself to Free Yourself. His first book, Brian's List, 26 and a half easy-to-use ideas on how to live a fun, balanced, healthy life, was the winner of a 2009 Next Generation Indie Book Award in the self-help category. It was also an award-winning finalist in the self-help motivational category of the National Best Books 2009 Award, sponsored by USA Book News. His new book, Finding Your Voice, was an award-winning finalist in both the 2013 Indie Excellence Book Awards and the National Best Book 2013 Awards. Welcome to the show today, Brian.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Brian, I am in awe of people who, two types of people in my life that awe and inspire me, people who have black belts in any martial arts and people who have done marathons and, in your case, triathlons, over 50 of them, and you mentioned a few of them even in Canada. How and when did you get started doing this? And talk a little bit about that, because I found runners have a very close-knit community. They run in all kinds of weather, and they're just amazing people. So let's start with that, because that's just quite an accomplishment, 50 triathlons.
Well, thanks. Well, I grew up being really active in doing a lot of the, you know, typical team sports, baseball, a little bit of football, basketball. I also played a lot of golf as a kid. But when I got to college, I was playing mud football with a bunch of buddies, and I got hit, and my kneecap got knocked out of place. And I ended up having to have surgery on it, and as I was kind of doing some rehab, a couple of friends of mine had told me about a little kind of a sprint race triathlon that they had done, a shorter distance triathlon, and it really intrigued me, and I thought it'd be really kind of fun for me to set that as a goal and to kind of help me, get through the rehab. And, you know, the rehab is not always fun, as I'm sure that, describing what you've gone through.
Yeah, it's
and stuff.
Often horrible.
I'm inspired by what you've gone through and what, geez. But, I set my goal, and so my leg got better, and I entered this short triathlon race way back in 1987. And I just had a blast, and it really made me feel good about myself, and I kept doing them. And one thing kind of led to another. A couple years later, after I did that first one, I entered, I went up and did Ironman Canada up in Penticton, British Columbia. And it just, I don't know, it was kind of almost like a predestined feeling I had about it. I knew that I would complete it. You know, I was feeling that a couple years, you know, right when I started doing the races, I thought that I would do an Ironman, and it just, I wrote a poem about it. I mean, it was a really poor poem, but I mean, I still felt like I captured the energy of that race, and lo and behold, 2 years later, I entered and went up there and did it, and it just kind of went just like I thought it would. You know, it was, I just had fun. It was the most amazing, you know, it's a long day, but I just felt alive out there the whole time. And it just really gave me a lot of confidence, you know, at such a young age, in my early 20s, to have done that. And it just kind of always have carried that in my back pocket, you know, in my thinking and belief that I could maybe do other things as well. So that's kind of how I got into
Neat.
Triathlons.
That's what I was thinking as you were telling this story. When you start it early, it must develop, first of all, mental discipline, so that even if in something other than training for a triathlon you come across something that your mind's trying to convince you not to do, you'll be like, come on, like, I run every day, all kinds of weather. Like, it must sharpen your self-discipline, and then it must be like, real high as far as setting a goal and achieving it, so that you can tie the two together, a goal achieved and that amazing feeling you get. And so it must really help you in a lot of other goal setting and areas of life as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for me, I did a lot of my training alone. I'm kind of an introvert. I'm an outgoing introvert. But, you know, looking back, you know, some of those long bike rides and swims and runs, they're almost kind of like meditation for me, and I'm sure other people would say the same thing. So, you know, in addition to, you know, getting a great workout in and doing the training and stuff, it was helping me in a lot of other ways, too. You know, when I was at the age where, you know, you kind of maybe ego kicks in a little bit, and, you know, you feel good about, you know, how you look and stuff, and especially if you're doing a lot of exercise and what have you, but I was getting a lot of other benefits from it. I mean, you know, and so, you know, and I did have some buddies that I did do training with, and that was a lot of fun, going on long bike rides and on some trips together when we would go and do races. And so, you know, it became a lifestyle for a while for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a lot of fun at the same time. So now let's look at some of the other things you've done. That's amazing. Filmmaker. Tell me about your filmmaking.
Well, that's fairly recent. About 3 years ago, my books just kind of started coming through me about five years ago, but I knew that I would need to be in front of people. And so,
mm-hmm.
being kind of an introverted person, I stepped out of my comfort zone a little bit and took some speech classes. I did Toastmasters for a little bit, and then I decided to take an acting class, and because I thought that would help be a lot more comfortable and confident. And what I found was that I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot about myself in that class. It was also very cathartic in a lot of ways. And I kind of started to pursue that. I was in Nevada at the time, and I ended up getting some work on a movie that was just released not too long ago called The Motel Life. It's a really good movie with Emile Hirsch and Dakota Fanning. But it's kind of opened my eyes up, and I met this young filmmaker there. And we kind of kept in touch, and I had this little idea come through me kind of in that dream state of being, you know, when you're not quite awake, but you're still kind of asleep. And as soon as I got up, I wrote it down. I gave him a call, and that's how my little film short Guitar Man came about, and we filmed it a couple weeks later over the course of about four nights in downtown Reno. And that just, it got accepted by 11 film festivals, and for me, I'm a closet guitarist. I've never really ever played in front of anybody. And so it was a very big step for me to do that on film. And so, you know, I learned a lot about myself and had a blast at the same time. But more importantly, I wanted to put out some really good messages in the film, which I feel like was accomplished. And so that led to some commercials, and it also somebody saw that in my Guitar Man film and gave me the lead part in another really cool short. It has not been released yet, but it's a fantastic story based on the short story, The Cab Ride I'll Never Forget. And so I'm excited to see that when it comes out. But, you know, I've got a couple other that I've written that are ready to go, and it's just kind of, I moved to L.A. 8 months ago, and so it's been a lot of fun being here and, you know, going to auditions and getting little jobs here and there and just kind of widening my base of people to connect with, you know, just to, my goal is to produce and act in and then put out just inspiring stories, good stories, stories that teach people, inspire people, and so it's still evolving, totally.
Amazing, and as you said, first of all, with triathlons and also living in L.A., the wider your reach, the more people you come in contact in various points of contact in your life, it builds a sphere of influence around you that you can now use that, and that's how your subconscious will use that sphere of influence to go and find the opportunities for you. Now, a published children's author, very cool. I met one, Rita Geldman, at a Napoleon Hill World Learning Center workshop. She's got, I think, about over 50 books published through Scholastic, so I learned a little bit about being a published children's author. Yeah, she makes like about 6 cents or, you know, like not very much, maybe 10 cents, something on each one. But one of them is used in every grade 3 class in the United States, something like that. So pretty nice. But I learned about them providing their own, generally the publisher provides their own graphics guy and you just do the text and there's some intricacies. And so tell me about being a published children's author, because a lot of people, my stepson has that as a goal, but a lot of people have it as a goal, but very few people get it accomplished.
Well, thank you. You know, breaking news, as of about 2 weeks ago, the company that picked up my stories, they were going to make those into moving picture books, kind of for applications for iPads. And the work that they were doing, it was just fantastic, and the artists that they had on board were fantastic. Well, the company just ran out of money, so that is all on hold. But, so, you know, stuff happens. I'm not worried. I'm really proud of the stories that they were going to use. But the good news is now they're free again, and so I'm kind of out looking to, you know, find people to collaborate with in that field, because I really do enjoy writing kid stories as well.
And that puts that out there into the universe now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell us about your latest book, Finding Your Voice. I have a copy of it. It's next on my list of books to read. How did it come about? You have already 3 or 4 other books before that. And so how did the ideas from Finding Your Voice come to be?
Finding Your Voice, you know, I should probably set this up a little bit. The last 5 years have just been really interesting for me. I mean, a lot of amazing things have happened, but I've just gone through a lot of growth and change. 5 years ago, I was running my family's business. We had a big golf center up in Oregon, a driving range and a retail store and a little golf course, and I did that for 12 years. And I knew in the back of my mind that is not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I wasn't sure what it was that I wanted to do, but I just knew that I wasn't growing there anymore and needed a change. So I had a chat with my father, and he understood that and was fine, and we ended up deciding to sell the business. And so it took about a year from that meeting we had to finding a buyer and to having that buyer come and do the, you know, exchange. Well, the last 6 months I was really struggling and just was just so ready just to bolt and just see what was next in my life. And I decided to come up with a handful of things that I knew would keep me in balance during that time. And so my short little list was, number one was drink more water. Number two was get some daily exercise. Number three was get enough sleep. Number four was to allow myself to have some alone time every day, because that's how I regenerate. And number five was to make sure that I allowed myself to be creative every day for a little bit. And so I did that, and it really, really helped me get through those last 6 months and stay on track. And then I just kind of had this intuitive feeling that I was supposed to expand the list and make it into a book. And I had never written a book before, and so I just kind of followed my hunch, and the book came through me in about a month, and I self-published it. And It's the book called Brian's List, 26 and a half easy to use ideas on how to live a fun, balanced, healthy life. And so I just knew that it was, you know, I had this little vision there'd be a couple stickers on there, and lo and behold, it won a couple of awards and just pointed me in this whole new direction. Although I wasn't really sure, you know, where that was going to take me, I just kind of moved forward. And so 5 years later, you know, I've done so much self, you know, so much growing just in all the different areas that I've kind of stepped out of my comfort zone, and I've just kind of really allowed myself just to kind of see where it all leads, and, you know, with an open mind. But my latest book, Finding Your Voice, is kind of a culmination of a lot of things that I learned over the course of the last 5 years. There's some little short stories. There's some inspiring poems. There's some quotes. There's just a little bit of everything, and it's a very simple read, but there's depth to it. I kind of like to say that I write in layman's terms, but with depth. And so I guess that's the best way I can kind of describe Finding Your Voice.
Nice. A lot of life experience and thought has gone into it, and so I'm looking forward to reading it, and I know it'll do really well. I know you're also a big advocate of listening to your intuition. Other people would call it their gut feeling, and stepping out of your comfort zone. Anyone who's done all the different things you have done has obviously had to stretch a few comfort zones and listen to intuition, even though they at some points probably have no idea how they're going to do what the intuition tells them they should do. So where did that insight or how did this start, listening to your intuition? And lots of people would like to have that ability, but they don't always trust it. They don't always follow it. So where do you find that courage as well to not only be aware of your intuition, but actually follow what it's telling you to do?
That's a great question. You know, for me, I just, I don't know if there was a particular time in my life where I kind of just started doing it. I think I've always been kind of doing it, but it wasn't until recently when I started writing and paying attention more and such that I kind of identified it and really kind of went full throttle on kind of just living my life via my intuition. You know, some of the earlier times I can remember, you know, are the triathlons, you know, just that, just following my nudge and that nudge and the gut instinct to kind of sign up for the race and just to kind of have an idea that I would do an Ironman and, you know, and to sign up for it, even though it, you know, it was scary in some ways, but I just felt like it was kind of a destined thing that I was supposed to do. And so those are probably some of the first times that I remember actively following it. You know, going way back when I was a younger kid, I've always kind of just done things my own way. And I'm a big fan of history, and I love baseball, and I used to, you know, collect a lot of old cards way back when I, you know, in the mid-70s when I was younger. And I found a magazine that had this bunch of addresses of all these old-time ball players, and I just found it, and I picked it up, and I said, I'm going to start writing them. So I started writing these guys, and they started writing back, and they're all long dead now, but it was just a blast. It was almost like Christmas at the mailbox every day, potentially, you know? And I just have always just kind of just not been afraid just to, I don't know, throw something up against the wall and see if it sticks.
Nice.
But
I like that. I like that.
Well, thank you. You know, and as I continue to evolve, I mean, it's just the more you do it, the easier it gets to just, you know, take that leap. It's not even a leap. It's just it's a trust walk. And so I'm been very
your idea with the ball players is behind a lot of the concepts I use and have understood and realized as well. I used to have a really amazing autograph collection from hockey players, Montreal Canadiens. Hey, if you're a hockey fan and you live in Montreal, you're a Montreal Canadiens fan. So I would just write them. And you're right, like, boy, they would send some back autograph with your name maybe sometimes. And you're like, wow, I just had to ask. Most people don't even ask. And then even the idea behind this radio show, because really, in reality, I'm in my home office doing this show. But I thought to myself, how could I gain experience from authors and amazing people and cool people and people I read about. And I thought, well, if I'm interviewing them, then there's some good for them involved. And I'm amazed. Same kind of results as with you with the ball players, in that amazingly gifted, talented achievers often, almost all the time, get back and say, yeah, I'm happy to be interviewed, love to talk to you. And you're like, wow. And so isn't that cool to learn that you just have to ask? And a lot of times some of the most well-known people and biggest achievers are also the biggest givers, and they give up their time and their energy and their money. But if you're afraid to ask them, you'll never find that out.
Well, absolutely. You know, absolutely. I've got a fun little side story for you. I got a caddy for Mario Lemieux one time at a golf tournament, so I got to spend 5 hours with him, and that was really cool. I know you'd appreciate that.
Definitely, definitely. And so amazing. And so intuition, gut feeling, a lot of people have it. It's not something that everybody has the courage to follow, but it really does open your life up to so many things, doesn't it? Whatever you learn in one area of your life often can be transferred into other areas. And you know, when you do as many things as you do, you've met amazing people in many different fields. And so you have to sometimes have that intuition, even when you're meeting a lot of people, an intuition that, hey, this is somebody that's going to be important to me, that I should work with, and that we have synchronicity. And so it's such a valuable gift to have. Now tell us about being an author, because, you know, a lot of people, even myself, I'm on the third edit for my book, trying to get my first one out, and now you're completing a fifth one. Was the first one the hardest, and then after that you learned? Because I have learned that, gosh, a lot of editing involved. And I'm like, I write it, and I think, okay, first time, perfect. Like, this should go. Let's just go with this first draft I have.
Right.
But
right.
There's a little bit to writing a book, and then once you've learned that skill and the process, does it make it easier the next four times?
Well, I think in some ways, the first one for me, you know, it was all so brand new. I just, in the way that it's set up, you know, it wasn't maybe as hard to put together as some other books, because basically, I have a bunch of different ways to stay in balance. And so I just, you know, kind of basically had my little outlines or chapters, and I just wrote under each one. And so it wasn't too bad. My other ones, you know, they just... I don't know, I've been really lucky. They just kind of flow out of me. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm a conduit in some ways. And you know, the editing's not always fun. And, you know, I've always, you know, done a pretty good job myself. And, of course, you know, we need to have another set or two of eyes look at them and you know, clean it up. But, you know, in some ways, yes, it has gotten easier, for sure. For sure. And, you know, you learn what works and what doesn't work. And my next book... all the books that I've done so far are self-published, and the next book, I've blessed a couple of months ago to sign a contract with a literary agency that is very reputable, and so, you know, we're going to put a proposal together for the next book and cross my fingers that they find a publisher for it, and kind of go a little different route this time. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's all out the future as well, but, yeah.
Self-publishing is great. You... you can earn good money on it, and the process of various organizations online, you can find that you can help self-publish, and that's what we're going to do as well. So that's a good way of doing it, and then nice also to have an actual publisher. It kind of makes you maybe walk a little bit taller, hold your head up that, I was picked up by a publisher. Look at me.
Well, yeah.
So what about the idea, one of your books there, 26 and a half easy to use ideas on how to live a fun, balanced, healthy life. I know Jeffrey Gitomer, one of my favorites, he uses 25 and a half or 24 and a half. He uses that half on a lot
oh, really?
Of his things as well. Yeah, yeah. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, you're very cool. What's the half an idea?
Well,
you just start
the idea
and you don't finish it.
Yeah, no, I get that asked a lot. Basically, I had 25 things, and then I came up with another one that I knew I wanted to have in there. And a lot of my friends were saying, well, it needs to be an even number. And I said, you know what, I'm going to make it really weird. And so I just added a half. And basically the half is just one last chapter that just has a bunch of other ways to stay in balance and I just that are pretty self-explanatory that I didn't really just talk about as much. And so that's basically all it is. It's just a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a joke kind of a thing just to kind of, you know, make it stick out a little bit more. But
Yeah, it does stick out, and that's the idea of a title, is something that sticks out. They're like, 26 and a half. You know, the people may not even remember the rest of the title of the book, but they're going to be going around saying, 26 and a half ideas? What is he talking about? So really good, and that's kind of one of the keys, is to have a cool, neat, interesting, standout title like that. And so we're trying to come up with that for our book as well. Now, one of the words in the title of that book, balanced. Let's talk about balanced life, because people sometimes, well, a lot of people will perceive balance as an equal amount spent in every area of your life every week. But that's not really how life goes. A lot of times one area of your life will take up a lot of time for 3 weeks, and then another area for another while, all the while combining a certain combination of the other areas of life. And so balance, is that right, does not always mean necessarily the same amount in each area of your life every week, because it's very hard to do that in this day and age.
Well, absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons why some people find it hard to stay in balance, is because it's a moving target. You know, as you just kind of mentioned, you know, day to day, our own point of balance can change, you know, depending on how much energy we have working for us that day and where our focus is. So, yeah, you know, for me, it's interesting how the balance thing kind of, the book just kind of came through me. But looking back, balance is so important for us to have as a foundation for many reasons. I mean, you know, it gives us more energy. You know, I think things flow smoother, and, you know, we're better able to be our true selves. But most importantly, and I didn't touch on this earlier, so I'm so glad that you brought this back around, is it's so much easier to pay attention to and listen for our intuition when we are in balance, because we're living a proactive life and not a reactive life. Because when we're in reactive mode, things get crazy, and we're not centered. You know what I mean? There's a lot of noise going on around us for a variety of reasons. So, you know, balance is really important, I truly believe.
Truly believe, but at the same time, you know, in various stages and waves of life. But, yeah, you need to really be in balance, kind of like what, Zig Ziglar and other people talk about. You know, if you gain the world, even the Bible talks about if you gain the world, but you lose your soul or you lose your family relationships, how big a success can you really be in life? And so, yeah, you could be world famous author, but if your health is no good, you're not doing the best for yourself and for the world. And so balance means looking after every area of life properly, so that you get the best benefit for yourself overall with your skills, talents, and abilities. And so, very cool title for the book. And award winner, so nice as well. Go ahead.
No, I thought I said thank you.
No. And so tell me about your other books as well.
Well,
Finding Your Voice. What was the art of balance, and Discover Your True Self? Are those two separate books?
Yes. Yeah. The Discover Your True Self is basically a story about my foray into triathlons and how I kind of overcame the knee injury. And so that's just a nice story. And the Art of Balance is kind of a little bit of a continuation of my first book, Brian's List, and I incorporate a lot of the things that I use in my balance workshops in that book as well. And so if somebody's not able to take one, you know, my balance workshop, they can get some of the benefits out of the workshop through that book and do some of the little activities. So basically that's what those two books are.
And one of the things I get asked the most about, help with. Napoleon Hill's first principle, the most important, is definiteness of purpose. And so many people have a hard time discovering it. They don't know it. And when you do discover it, first of all, it helps you eliminate a lot of things in your life. When you discover your true purpose, then you really have to focus on it and get your mind off a lot of and time off other things, wasting time things. And that's kind of the idea. True self also is kind of the concept, isn't it, of a definiteness of purpose, but kind of having it in every area of your life. So a true self, balanced person, every area of your life, which ultimately uses all of your God-given skills, talents, and abilities to the best of your ability.
Yeah, you know, for me, boy, I my mom reminded me not too long ago that when I was 3, I told her that I was put here to inspire people. And I don't know, I mean, so it's kind of, you know, it sounds a little egotistical, but I mean, I just know, I want to learn about myself. I want to be the best that I can be. And as I do that, things happen, you know, whether it was the books or the 4A and the triathlons or the acting and stuff. And I've always been very blessed to have a bit of a positive, optimistic outlook on things. And I'm really just want to do the best that I can to put good stuff out there, whether it's a book, a film, what have you. And I don't ever tell anybody what to do, but I just try to share what my experience has been. And we're all very similar in a lot of ways. And if somebody can read something or watch something that I've done and put themselves into that character or into the story and say, wow, you know, that resonates with me because I went through the same thing or whatever. And if it gives them a little bit of a boost or some courage to step out of their comfort zone or to be a better person or just to be a better them, you know, then my job is done. I mean, I just, I try not to think too much about where things are going and what's happening. I just try to follow my intuition and stay grounded and just have fun and just, really kind of stop that thought train that can kind of get us in trouble. You know what I mean? When we feel like we need to be this way or that way. And, you know, really, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Eckhart Tolle's, you know, work. I've really, really started subscribing to that and just let go of all, you know, idea of what I'm supposed to do and just let it evolve.
Nice. And I love that. It's kind of the idea behind finding your voice, too, as well, in that if we are all open to share our stories, our skills, our talents, our abilities, and our challenges, then as you said, and this is what I found in so many groups where people get together and share honestly from their heart and their soul and in their life, that people will say, hey, wow, I've experienced the same thing. I mean, you've gone through that too? Man, I was so hard at the time. And then you're like, yeah, it was. And so a lot of times people don't find their voice. They don't get a chance to share their stories. And by not sharing their stories, they're kind of depriving the world or a neighbor or a friend or someone they don't even know of learning from the challenges that they went through, the experiences they had, the skills they have, the talents they have. And so finding your voice and what you're doing is really, really an inspiration, for sure.
Thank you. I mean, I think authenticity is more important than ever, and people sense when folks aren't. And, you know, we all want to be, at our core, authentic. And we want to be vulnerable, and we want to, you know, be able to kind of share that part of ourselves. And I've been there, but I know a lot of folks struggle with that because they feel like they're supposed to do something different or peer pressure or whatever, or fear of failure, fear of being ridiculed for their beliefs, whatever. I mean, but we have to be ourselves.
Exactly.
We won't be happy until we really are able to express our true
Exactly. And this is something I suffered with for years because I don't, in my real life other than here or when someone's paying me to speak, I never talk about my arthritis, my pain, my challenges, my disability. And so when I started to realize that part of my purpose and gift and talent is to encourage people by sharing this, because throughout my life people have been like, oh, Tom, boy, I think of you all the time, oh, they inspire me so much, or, oh, I was going to skip work today, and then I thought, wow, what would Tom think of me if I skipped work with this tiny little ache or pain or whatever, and so I struggled and fought, and, you know, I didn't want to do this. This is something I don't like talking about. When I talk about arthritis, I tend to get more sore, right, because now I'm focusing on it, and I'm like,
yeah,
right, I am
right.
Sore. And so, but when you share your gift, and so for the Arthritis Society workshops, and when I share my stories, when you see people come up to you and they're so grateful that you shared the challenge, shared what being in pain means, shared the depression you get, the fatigue you get from arthritis, you're like, wow, why did I bottle it up all those years when what I've gone through can bring this about in other people, a hope or an encouragement or a common bond that, okay, even though I'm positive I had depression at points from pain, and if someone like myself can say it in front of a group, then someone else who's never said it could say, wow, you know what? I've had periods of depression because of pain and fatigue and mobility challenges and surgeries, and now you're reaching into someone's soul. But so many people, even like I was, are hold back. They don't want to share those parts of their life, A, because it brings the feelings back to them, and B, because they don't feel it could be of any value to share that tough experience or challenge they had in life, where, in fact, someone they work with, their neighbor or a friend, could be touched by knowing that they went through a similar experience as what they did, right?
Absolutely, and I think also, you know, just the fact that you're just sharing authentically, that just is an inspiration as well. Even if somebody's not going through pain, they're going to be touched by that because it's kind of a high vibrational act, and everything has energy to it. And you know, the more high vibrational we can be in our actions and are being true to ourselves, you know, and sharing, the better everybody is. And it's just like you sense that energy about someone when they're being that way.
Exactly, and sometimes by sharing these difficulties and challenges that we've experienced, we bring the biggest joy to our lives because it impacts other people. And when there
exactly.
can be a purpose behind what you've gone through, it really gives you hope that, okay, wow, you know, thank goodness I've been through it, and thank goodness I can use it to help and inspire other people. And so I encourage so many people to find their voice, get online, write their story, share it with the world however they can, because there could be people out there that could really benefit from, as you say, the authenticity. Because so many people are trying to market, sell, promote, brag about themselves, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, that when you open your soul to saying, you know what, I have this, I do this, I struggle with this, then you find a lot of people open up their hearts and souls to you as well.
Amen. And I just want to say one thing. And it, you know, our gifts don't necessarily have to be a tangible gift like being able to play guitar or write a book. For some people, it's just being the best mother they can be or the best teacher they can be. Or just being yourself is enough. And so, you know, just that's all. And, you know, we're perfect and whole just the way we are.
Yeah, we don't have to have ginormous aspirations. One of my closest friends' definite purpose is to be the best father and husband he can be. And whether he's world famous or not world famous, that's a simple purpose that many people have. Many mothers could be so proud of a purpose like that. If you raise amazing kids who contribute to the world and make good of themselves, like, boy, that should be a pretty powerful purpose in someone's life alone, and it doesn't have to be to change the world or, you know, invent a cure for cancer or anything like that.
Yep. I agree.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Brian. I know your book is going to do well. As soon as I finish it, I'm going to be reviewing it on Amazon, and a real inspiration to people in various areas of life to get out and explore those things that maybe are out of your comfort zone, but they're in your head that you'd like to try them. And so many of those things you've done probably are in people's minds as well. I know for a fact, as I said, that my stepson and other people I know want to write children's books. I know 3 or 4 people who want to do that. I know a bunch of people who want to be filmmakers and actors as well, and radio personalities and all of those things. But you've taken it from thinking about it, dreaming about it, to doing it. And so that's a powerful thing that you can share with people, is take your dream, but then go and try it out. Get out of your comfort zone. Your intuition is telling you you'll enjoy it, so get out there and try it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks so much for your time today, Brian. Have yourself an amazing day. What's your website where people can find you?
Yeah, I go by my middle name, Brian. So the website is the letter G, so it's gbrianbenson.com.
Amazing. And, I'll put that online,
and
people will be able to find you there, gbrianbenson.com, and look forward to reading your book and following you and your many exploits. Have yourself an amazing day.
You too, Tom. Keep up the good work. Cheers.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.